Tonight on the Gamecasters, we're going to talk about a couple games we played tonight, Galaxy Trucker and Micro Mutants. We're also going to talk about the expanding universe, which is all things expansions. Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome.
Episode 8. I really just thought about you too when I said that. Hello, hello. So we played Galaxy Trucker, Micro Mutants,
we did.
And then a couple more fun games. We'll talk about that in a second. We're also going to talk about all things expansions in this game, or in this episode, which is something I really, you know, have a lot to say about. I normally don't talk that much, so this time you're actually going to hear me
talk. It's going to be surprising.
So let's launch right into it then. We started with Galaxy Trucker Anniversary Edition. Tonight it was Rob, Jeremy, and myself. John was absent. We all cried for his absence. Yeah. So Galaxy Trucker is a game by Vlada Shvatel. I don't know if I pronounced his name right. I have no idea. Vlada Shvatel. There's a lot of ch and sh in there. I have
Sounds
no idea.
Sounds good.
He's one of my favorite designers. He designs a lot of games. And what I like about him is all the games he designs, they're, like, so different. Like, I don't know if you've played any of them, actually, but he has designed Dungeon Lords, which is a pretty heavy worker placement game, and Dungeon Pets, which is very similar, which is also really popular, but they're very, like, you know, heavy thinky, very thematic, which is great. And that's what I really like about him. A lot of his games are just very thematic. And then he did the very, very popular Mage Knight, which is also fantastic, thematic, and super heavy and deep and long. So it might not be something that's up your alley, honestly.
I'd give it a try.
Yeah, it's fun. We should.
The theme is
at
cool.
Some point. Yeah, the theme is great. And then he's done the brand new amazing game Codenames, which has taken the gaming community by storm, really. Yeah. I mean, that's. And how light is that? It's just a light party game.
Yeah.
You know, he's did another broad game range. Called Bunny Bunny Moose Moose, which is another, like, party-ish type game. You know, he just designs. He kind of runs the gamut of genres, you know. So then Galaxy Trucker, we played tonight. I think. Yeah, the anniversary edition is Rio Grande Games, and this is kind of out of print now, I think. But basically what it is, it's the base game and then all the expansions that were released at the time that it came out. So I don't think there's been any expansions since. So it's basically everything Galaxy Trucker.
Okay. It's quite a big box.
Yeah, it's a big coffin box. There's a lot in it, and for that reason it sometimes can be intimidating, you know, like it's... I look at it and I'm like, do I want to play that? Yes, I do. And then I open it and I'm like, there's so much stuff in there. I don't feel like doing it. You know, but tonight we decided it was a good time to do kind of lighter fare. I mean, we've been playing a lot of, you know, little medium to heavier strategy games lately, and we kind of wanted a break. So we decided that we'd go a little bit lighter tonight, which was fine and great. You know, it's good to do that once in a while. Plus, I hadn't played Galaxy Trucker in a while. Jeremy had never played it. Rob had never played it. And so I figured, let's do this.
And it was good.
You liked it?
I did like it. Yeah, it was cool.
Okay. I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
Not really.
It's a whole it's a different game. I think it's just because it's so chaotic.
Yes. You know, well, I wasn't sure really if you were going to like it because of that.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
It's different, right?
Yeah, there's some tension in there that's good. You know, you're building your ship up. It's a tile game, right?
Yeah.
So you're picking tiles and you're building up your ship and nothing's really working out so good. And then you have a time crunch and, you know, and then everything's done for the building the ship thing.
Yeah.
And then you fly through space and get blown up by
asteroids.
Yeah,
you see how terrible your engineering skills are in the second phase.
It's fantastic.
It's fine, you know. All right, so if you go into the game and you're all... I was telling Jeremy and Rob this before it started. If you go into the game and you're just, like, in a serious mode and you really want to do really well and make sure, you know, you're just going to hate your life because this game just laughs at you as you, you know, your ship blows apart.
You can't plan that well.
You can't really plan. You just have to just go with it and just hope everything sticks and just laugh the whole time. So, as Jeremy mentioned, it's like a tile laying game. You start with all these tiles in the middle of the board, of the table, rather, and they're all face down. Each player has their own personal board, and it's a spaceship. And in the first round, it's a little spaceship. In the second round, it gets a little bigger. Third round, gets even bigger. So the spaceship is just a blank canvas with like an outline, you know, just to look like a spaceship. And so basically, during the game, simultaneously, all the players are taking the tiles from the center of the table, looking at them, deciding right then, do I want this? Okay, if I want it, I put it right in my board, you know, connected to any of the other tiles that are on there, kind of Carcassonian-like. You have to connect. You have to make sure they make sense the way they connect.
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, you put it back face up, and then any of the other players can take it. So you're doing this at the same time. You know, I'm not going, and then Rob, and then Jeremy, we just all just...
I kind of like that part of it.
It's cool. It's really cool.
So you're digging through every, you know, digging through the tiles and picking stuff up.
Yep. So you're trying to get guns, you're trying to get engines, you're trying to get shields, you're trying to get batteries, you're trying to get, you know, like, different cargo spaces, you're trying to get more cabins to hold more people, because all that stuff you need, you're going to need for the second phase, which is when you fly your ship and you have to deal basically with cards. You flip a card up and the card, you know, might say, okay, you're in open space. Now you have to use your engine thrusters. And if you have no engines, you're out of the round. And, you know, you're trying to basically get as much money as you can during the round and finish the round fastest to get even more money. Because at the end of the game, the most money is the winner. It's really, really, both parts are really cool. The first part, you're furiously trying to build the best ship. And there's this little timer in the game, which adds a really cool element to it. You know, we're all building our ships. If one of us is building our ship faster, maybe a little better than the other two, they can put that person can put pressure on the other players by flipping over this sand timer. And
you happen Jeremy to do that every time.
I had to indoctrinate you. I had to, you know, break you in with the showing you the, how the real true game is. Yeah, so it was their first play, and I didn't take it easy on them at all. I just kept flipping it over. And
Here are the tiles. Oh, you have no time to deal with it. Here you go.
Hey, you're a level 99 gamer now. I shouldn't have to take it easy on you. It was a blast. I loved it. It was great. Jeremy and Rob seemed to have fun. I mean, in this comic I drew.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I believe you.
Because it's, like I said, it's different. It plays so differently than a Euro that we've been playing before.
And there's really not much like it.
No. I mean, the tile stuff is, you know.
Familiar.
Tile stuff. You know, matching. It's kind of a puzzle-like thing. You know, you got to match certain tiles that fit together and stuff. But it's just the whole pressure thing that I like. It's a good...
Yeah, it's a good feel. The theme comes through. I mean, you feel like you're building a spaceship. You feel like you're flying this, you know, hodgepodge of crap together.
It does feel hodgepodge.
I don't know why this company trusts you with this, you know, all its precious cargo. Here, just build your own ship.
Well, it gets lost a lot.
And do it crap.
The little pieces, you know, the little battery energy things are cool.
The tactile experience is pretty cool, huh?
Little guys, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Cameron, my son, was watching me as I was setting it up, and every time I'd dump a baggie out with more components, he would just go, whoa! It was really cute. It was funny. But yeah, as he was doing that, I was like, well, I'm kind of doing that too. I was like, yeah, I guess these are really cool. But yeah, the components are very, very cool. They provide a nice tactile feel. The tiles are, you know, the artwork on them is very nice. You know, it's pleasing. It's functional. You can tell what everything is. It's not too busy. It's not too, you know, so confusing. And as Jeremy was saying, it's very, very tense. You know, you're freaking out like, oh gosh, I got to finish this. And especially, I mean, on your end, while I flip the timer, you're probably like,
Yeah, it makes it worse. Which is good. It's a good thing.
No, yeah, you want
ultimately that. For the gaming experience is a good thing.
Sure, but I've had games of it where people are just super nice to each other and no one flips the timer, and so then every round you build the perfect spaceship and it's just kind of boring.
Yeah,
it's like no one gets their feelings hurt at all, but it's just kind of like, that's not the fun. You want to make it crazy. Yeah, even in this game we didn't. You know, Rob had a couple instances of bad luck where he had some pieces fly off his ship or he had no batteries left to power anything later, and it was really funny. But for the most part, we all survived all three rounds. I mean, I think Rob was out of one round, right? But we all survived the rest of them, and I don't know. I like it a lot. I give it probably an 8.5, I think. Yeah, it's very, very good. It's one of the first games I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah, when I first got into the hobby about 2010, maybe. I bought, I think it came out in 2008.
Okay. Yeah, it's been around for a while.
That and Last Night on Earth were like two of the first games I've ever had. And Last Night on Earth is gone, and Galaxy Trucker has stuck around, you know?
It's one that I've always seen on BGG and always wanted to play, so it's a good chance to play it.
So. Good. Yeah, I'm glad you got it and hated it. So, okay, so then we played...
I didn't hate it. Come on.
What would you rate it?
Like a 7.5.
That's pretty good.
To start.
Yeah.
You know, that's one play. I think I would probably get better as I go.
Yeah, 7.51. Maybe on the next
point
play.
Point 1 and point 2 and point 3.
Hey, it's not a 3 or a 4, so I'm happy. I mean, the tiling speaks to you, right?
Oh, yeah.
You like that aspect of it.
Like I said, it starts with a 3 if it's a tile lane game. If it's not a tile lane game, it starts as 2. And then...
So it got 4.5 points after the 3.
That's right.
Wow. This is pretty nice. So then what we didn't get to play last week during our Dexterity episode, we only got to play 2 games because Catacombs took a long time.
Yeah,
and you know, then Jeremy and John got to play a few games of Clask, but that was all we got to play, which was kind of a bummer. So, I really wanted to play Micro Mutants, which is one of the games Jeremy brought last week. So we talked about, let's bring that back and play it again because it's again a lighter game, you know, which is good to break it up once in a while and play one of those.
Yeah.
So we brought that out, and I was good. I mean, tell us about the game.
Well, if anybody here is or listening is familiar with Tiddlywinks, that's pretty much the basis of the game.
Yeah.
So you have a shooter, plastic little plastic shooter,
shooter,
and a bunch of discs, and those discs are all bugs, basically, on your team, and you're using that shooter to sort of push over the edge of the discs and shoot them across the playing surface.
Yeah, you're Tiddlywinking them across the world.
Just trying to land on your opponent's bugs and their bases, which is they're kind of set in their own area on the board. And that's about it.
Yeah, you're right. Each player, we played 4 players, and that's the max it can play.
Yeah.
Each player has 3 bases. The bases don't do anything. I mean, you can spawn dead mutants next to them, right? But the bases themselves don't do anything. Once you get one of your bugs to flip, you know, Tiddlywink on top of another player's base, you capture that base. Once 4 bases total in the game are gone, it ends, and you total up the points. And you only score points based on bases of other opponents that you've captured.
Yeah.
So in our game tonight, I had 2 bases. Heather had 1, and Jeremy had 1.
Yeah.
And so it ended right when that 4th one went out.
Yep.
And then it ended. And I will say that felt a little anticlimactic, the way it ended. It was like, we were all trying so hard, and then a lucky shot kind of bloop. Oh. It's over. Oh, I guess I win. Okay. Yay.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it. I did. I had fun. It was genuinely a fun experience. If it would have went on longer, I think it would have been a bummer. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of happy when I was like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. It's over. I mean, and that sounds like I didn't like it. I know it does, but that's not it. It's just for the weight of the game and for how hard it seemed to flick one of your discs on top of someone else's disc. It seemed like about 40 minutes was about the length of time.
Yeah,
it would have gotten frustrating, I think, if it went on a lot longer, you know.
Another thing I think is kind of works against it is all the special powers of all the bugs. So each team has its own sort of theme, and all the different bugs on the team have different powers.
Yeah.
And there's cards that relate to that. So I think there's a lot of fiddly kind of stuff, especially when you're new to the game.
Would you call it Fiddlywinks?
Fiddlywinks, yeah. Could be.
Just laugh at me. Okay, thanks. No, to be honest with fiddly. You, I liked the cards.
Yeah,
I think that was... I mean, I thought it was cool because it wasn't so complex that I had to... What does this do? You know, about halfway through the game, I kind of got it. And I was like, okay, this guy can move twice. This guy can spit splooge at you. Yep, that's right. Exactly what it is in the game. This guy can spit a spider web. And I liked it. It was fun. And
yeah.
But yeah. I do know what you mean.
It seems like it could be simplified slightly.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it was. There was a game that came out, I think. Well, because when was Micro Mutants? Do you know what year that was made? It was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a game that came out a few years later. It's called The Grand Flea, and that one, I think, just does it a lot better.
Plugging it
Shameless again. Plug. Shameless plug. Okay.
But there's another one that, happened after Micro Mutants that is based on Micro Mutants. I think I mentioned that before.
Yeah.
is that it's more streamlined.
You don't remember the name of that one?
I can't recall.
Yeah.
I should have looked it up.
Because I wonder, because I think Micromutants might be out of print. I wonder if that new one's in
I think it
print.
Is.
The because other one I will is say, the game print. Is fun. It's I can see it getting very frustrating because it's not simple to tiddlywink yourself on top of another bug. It seems like they always just like fall right off or slide up against, and it's just like,
or it doesn't go far enough.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, that you can get down. I don't know. It was good. It was not bad. I would probably give it a 7.
Really?
Yeah. I did have fun with it. What about you? Oh, I'm interested.
I think it's a little lower. Well, I've been kind of debating skills. On whether or not I should trade this away, actually. I know it made my top 5, but I just feel like...
Well, that was a whole week ago, I mean.
Yeah, things change. But I really want to play the newest version of it to see if they made any changes.
I wonder what's different. The components were nice.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It's a nicely made game.
It's pretty much what it had to be, right? That mat was cool, and I liked it. Yeah. So after that, we had a little bit of time, and Rob, I had talked to Rob a couple weeks ago about some games for kids that were good. And we played, Jeremy. So I played a couple, or I told him about a couple games. One was Loop and Louie, and I talked about it last week in the Dexterity podcast episode. And it was one that just missed my top 5. And I have the Loop and Chewy version. So Rob asked about that tonight. He's like, oh, can you just show me that real quick? And I was like, oh, we should just play it. It takes, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And so I brought it out, and it's 3 players. So Jeremy, Rob, and myself played. And go ahead, take it away. I want you to say what you thought about it.
It was probably the most fun all night.
That's great. I mean, it's just a simple little, takes 5 seconds to play through a game.
It's a plastic, battery-operated thing, and
it's a toy
crazy.
Almost. It's more of a toy.
Yeah, it has a toy feel to it, but it's so fun.
Oh, we were laughing like girls that have just sucked helium out of a balloon. We were just, rolling, because it's just... It's hilarious.
It's so unpredictable and fun.
Yeah. It's stupid, slappy, slapstick fun that you just crack up and it's great. I don't know. I loved it. We played 4 games of it and it was actually pretty epic because I won the first game, Rob won the second game, and Jeremy won the last 2 and snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. out from under us. And then after Loop and Chewy, Rob hadn't seen Clask, so Rob and Jeremy played a couple games of that, or just one, maybe. One game of Clask, which is another one we, of course, talked about last week.
Yeah.
And that was game night.
It was.
Right? What would you rate Loop and Chewy if you had to base just, off the cuff?
Maybe an 8.
Wow. Yeah. I think this is the first time ever that you would rate a game higher than me. I think I'd put it at a 7.5. Very good 7.5.
Yeah.
That's awesome,
It's a good one.
It was really fun.
I'd like to try the Loop and Chewy with 4 players.
Loop
and Louie. Yeah.
It's annoying that... I don't know why they did that. That's my one gripe about Loop and Chewy. Everything else is better about it. I mean...
Must be a budget thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. But I mean, it worked out tonight because there's only 3 of us.
Yeah.
But you can play it. I don't know.
Seems like 4 would be a lot more fun.
It is. It's great. It's so great. I like it a lot. So that's game night tonight. Playing Galaxy Trucker was kind of a lead-in to tonight's episode.
Thought that was a good fit.
Ended up being a good choice. So, the episode tonight is entitled The Expanding Universe, and it's really all things expansions is kind of what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
I have some interesting opinions on this. relating to kind of all my games I have and how I used to buy them and how I buy them now. And it just kind of, I like to dive deeper kind of into things like this, maybe that people don't think about as often. I mean, maybe you do, but stuff like that, it really interests me, kind of offshoot wings of the hobby that we can just dive into and figure out, why do things click this way? Or why does this happen?
Yeah.
How do you think when you do this? Yeah. So first off, we ask, what is a game expansion? Some people that listen to this podcast don't really necessarily play board games. I mean, because, I hold a gun to my wife's head and make her listen to it, and she doesn't know what really is going on. That's a joke. That's a joke. It's a knife that I hold.
Definitely a joke.
Not a gun to her head. So, so the first thing, what is a game expansion? You know, it's really just something that adds content, you know, to the original game.
Yeah.
Sometimes adding additional rules, sometimes just adding more stuff.
Or breaking rules that were already established.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Adding more to something that the designers either felt there wasn't enough in the first game or, you know, or they're just trying to grab money. Who knows? That's something we'll kind of talk about. So,
or to add some depth.
Yeah, hopefully.
To it.
Sometimes at the expense of the game. But again, we'll get into that as we go. The next question you got here says, where can you get expansions? Pretty much anywhere you can get the regular games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, cool stuff. Friendly local game stores, Amazon.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Usually, they don't usually, you know, an expansion, it comes in a standalone box. Usually released months to years after the original game. You know, but you just buy it like anything else.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's cheaper than the base game, usually.
Most of the time.
Oh, I do have to add, too, you can get it at BGG. They have some promos and some.
You're right. BGG does have a store. And that is a good spot to go. If you have, that's a good point. If you have a game, you know, any kind of game you have, it's a good idea to go to BoardGameGeek on their BoardGameGeek store and see if there's a couple promos out, you know, for the game. Like just the other day, I was looking on there and there was like a promo for Twa. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I thought the Ladies of Twa, which is the expansion for Twa, I know I said Twa a lot, was the only thing out for it. But there was like a couple promo cards and you can get them on the BoardGameGeek store. And generally everything on there is like $5.
Yeah.
And you got to pay, you know, a dollar or two for shipping. But it's pretty cool. It's a pretty good deal. And they ship it out pretty quickly. You get it pretty fast. But yeah, that's a good point.
So by promo, we mean it's a promotional thing, but it's also an expansion.
Yes. Usually promos, you know, a promotional thing is something given away at like conventions. You know, the company Z-Man Games, in Twa's case, who publishes Twa, you know, maybe at a convention to get someone interested in it. Hey, come play the game. And if you play this game, you get this promotional card.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that entices you to buy the game. So now you have this promo that most people can't get.
Yeah.
To go with the game. So, yeah, that's right. So a promotional card technically is an expansion, you know, in, I guess, in the granular sense.
Just a smaller version of just a smaller expansion.
But mostly what we're talking about when we talk about expansions is like a box, you know, that has more meat and content in it.
Yeah.
So Jeremy said usually that these expansions are, you know, less money than the base game. It can vary wildly, you know, in my experience. There's some expansions which are like for, what game is it over there? I can't even find it. Hansa Teutonica. There's two expansions released and they're just a board. You know, they're just new boards and they have different spots and stuff and it's not too much added depth and complexity. It's just new boards to add stuff to the game. And I love expansions like that.
Yeah.
Expansions that just add more things to the already existing rule set. So they don't change the rule set. It's just more stuff that you can just, you know, either shuffle in or, hey, we're going to play on this board today. It doesn't do anything. There's no really added rules. I mean, Hansa Teutonica, I haven't actually played the two new boards, so there might be some additional rules, but there's not many, as far as I know. But the rule of thumb for me is, if I'm paying the same amount of money or more for an expansion than the base game, that's a problem. And I don't do it.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, Shogun has an expansion. It's called Tenno's Court. There's not really that much in it. And I don't really think it adds that much to the game, especially not when we play it as infrequently as we do. And it's like $50.
Wow.
It's like as much as the game.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, ugh. Stuff like that is just not worth it, I don't think, to me. What do you think makes an expansion successful? Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, what makes a good, you know, like a good expansion? What, you know,
I think one that adds just enough to change the experience, but doesn't bend the rules or break the rules too much, you know? Like, it just adds a nice little tweak to the game that you know,
it adds should fit a little in more seamlessly, flavor. Don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, there should be no seam to it and not an obvious like clunk, you know, this is a huge thing that's added to the game and it just adds more time or I don't know.
An example I think of good expansions are Small World expansions. Yeah. The Race and Power expansions. Stuff like that is kind of, I think, what we're talking about there, where they just fit into the game. Yeah, they have their own little unique powers that you need to know, yeah. but the core game doesn't change.
Yeah.
It's just more stuff. Like
Fantasy Flight stuff with the X-Wing or the...
Attack Wing.
You know, those are technically expansions,
you're right.
right?
Yeah, you're right.
So,
some people like that stuff. Some people don't like that stuff because there's the whole, you know, outside of the how does this fit with the rules and is this streamlined, there's the, no, I got to buy this damn thing. You know, do I need that? No, but yes. But yeah, the Small World expansions are great because they generally don't change the rules. They just add, you know, more stuff. You don't really have anything else to learn. It's just more options. Games where an expansion drastically changes the game, or you have to learn an entire new rule book.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. An entire rule book worth of rules to play it properly. I get a little bit less excited. Adding complexity for the expansion is not usually to me a good idea.
Yeah,
because it'll detract me from. Since I have so many games, it detracts from. You know, okay, I'm not going to want to sit down and learn this and its expansion when we haven't played the base enough to like it, you know, and then yeah. I have to learn all these rules for something. So I'm more disinclined to just not use it.
Just buy a new game, another game.
Yeah, use that money to buy another game and just play the base. When I was first starting out, I had this, like, I don't know if it was acquisition. It was more like a completionist desire.
Yeah.
You know, I buy a game and I have to get everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
My friend Bill's like that, and I kind of got that from him, you know, and I enjoyed it. It was fun, like, tracking everything down and finding it and saying, now it's complete. And that was different back then because I got a different experience from it. I got that. I felt good having it complete. But as the years have gone by... And I've realized I'm not playing these expansions. I'm just not. So what's the point? Like, why do I feel like I must own it? I bought Exodus Proxima Centauri. It's like a 4X game, if you're familiar with what 4X games are.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like Twilight Imperium 3, those kinds of Eclipse, those types of games.
Okay.
I bought that. I Kickstarted it a long time ago. I got it a couple years ago, and then I haven't played it. I haven't even played it. And the expansion was kickstarted last year, and I was like, oh, I got to back it. So I backed it. You know, just, oh, an expansion for this? Oh, cool. And then people are thinking, it's so great. I haven't even played the game yet, and I have the expansion. And so it's pointless. And I'll bet you I could play that game 10 times and not need the expansion.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So we kind of already touched on what makes an expansion unsuccessful.
Yeah.
You know, which is just, it just doesn't need to be there. You know, so the base game was great already and they wanted to get more money out of it maybe, so they released an expansion, but that expansion really doesn't add anything to the game, or it just might make it, you know, unnecessarily complex, dulling the experience, you know, for, I don't know.
Making it longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, or even more complex than it needs to be. I haven't played with it yet, but I have it. The Can't Stop expansion. Have you played Can't Stop? It's just Lucky Dice Roll.
It's been a while.
There's an expansion that came out. It wasn't obviously from Sid Saxon because he's no longer with us, but there was. It's just like a bunch of little tiles that go on the spaces, and you go travel along the board, and then flip those tiles over, and they do different things to you, like oh, keep moving or move back or this and that thing. Yeah. And I've heard it's fun, but to me, it kind of seems like it takes away what I like about Can't Stop, which is the ridiculous and awesome simplicity and quickness of it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put a little tile, I think, on every little space, and it's just kind of, you know, it just doesn't seem necessary. I bought it, but again, that was before I started thinking about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think are some of the best game expansions out there? We talked about Small World. I think, honestly... The Kingsburg to Forge a Realm expansion. Have you played with that expansion? Have you played without that expansion?
I've played it base game mostly.
Oh.
That's the one that has the extra
There's like four buildings. Or five modules. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it almost becomes necessary for that game.
That's what I've heard. I hadn't played the base game enough to get bored with it, or to where it felt super samey. But I've heard that that's a big problem with Kingsburg. Yeah. I got the expansion early because that's what I do, and I can't imagine playing without it. Yeah. With at least a couple of the modules. It's very cool having asymmetrical buildings, because that's one of the things you can do. In Kingsburg, you know, you have, everybody has the same player sheet, and you can kind of pick a tree and, you know, build your buildings, but they're all the same. To Forge a Realm, which is the expansion for it, came with, like, different buildings that you can place over the top, and so we all have different starting ones, and that makes the game so much cooler.
Yeah, it does.
And there's a couple other modules that are pretty cool. You can start with, like, your own special power. That's a module. Instead of rolling the King's Favor die at the end to, you know, help you in the attack, you have your own little set of tokens, which I think is one of the best modules in that expansion. So you pick which one you want to use to help you fight, and whichever tile you don't use is points at the end of the game. It's just very cool, and it keeps it fresh. Stuff like that keeps the game fresh. So I think that's a very great expansion. The Cosmic Incursion expansion. You haven't played Cosmic Encounter yet.
No, I haven't.
But the game comes with 50 alien races, the base game. And that's a ton. You don't need any more than that.
Yeah.
But every expansion after that adds like 25 to 30 more alien races. It's very... Yeah, it's awesome. Because you can just have unlimited choices. But the reason I like the Cosmic Incursion expansion especially is because it comes with a rewards deck. Now, this deck basically just adds more cards that do really cool things when you get defensive rewards. And that doesn't add any complexity to the game at all, because it's just adding things to an existing mechanic.
Okay.
And you can just choose from a different deck of cards. And that's all it is. It's not, you don't have to learn anything new, really. And then, of course, it just gives you more aliens to choose from, which tell you what they do on the cards. So it's just, I play with it every single time. It's great.
Cool. Yeah. It's kind of like Small World in that way.
Exactly.
The new races.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly like that. The Belfort expansion, again, I don't think you've played Belfort yet, but it's called the Expansion Expansion. It is so great. Again, I'll never play without it. It adds the coolest thing ever. It adds like a drafting. You know how in Carson City, at the beginning of the turn, you pick a power kind of thing?
Yeah.
Belfort, the Expansion adds that kind of thing to
cool.
it. You pick a power at the beginning, and it helps you that round, and it's just so awesome.
Sounds
and it doesn't
good.
Really yeah it doesn't really add anything. It's just, you know, just, I mean, complexity wise it takes a little longer because it's, you know, but it's so awesome. I'd never play without it. I mean, I could go on about great expansions. Palaces of Carrara, you're not going to play without the 8 level buildings.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
and those powers.
That just, that I think that makes the game
for sure.
I haven't played without it. But it seems like I wouldn't want to play without it.
It would be too light.
Yeah.
That's an interesting game, because the expansion to that game comes in the base game.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a couple games that do that, but mostly, you know, the base game, Palaces of Carrara, the base game is just, you know, a stripped down version, and then there's a whole packet that says, you know, once you get familiar with the base game, open and play with this expansion.
So it's kind of more of a basic and advanced thing.
Right. They call it an expansion, but, I mean, can it really be an expansion? I mean, I don't know if it really can be an expansion if it comes with, you know, boxed within the base game.
Yeah.
It's cool, though, because if you're playing with, you know, I like that they have that option, because if you're playing with somebody who's just so new to games, you might not add that in.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you at least have the option to not, where most games it's like, okay, this is what you get.
Yeah.
You know? Claustrophobia has some great expansions.
I can imagine.
Yeah, the Deep Profundus expansion, which is the first one. It just comes with more. You get more monsters, more humans, and then more scenarios.
Do you actually get pieces?
Yeah.
The miniatures?
Yes.
Nice.
You get two new miniatures for each side. Like, you would get these two, like, sweet-looking, they're called Hellhounds.
Nice.
And they just look like badass wolves, you know, and then I get these two, you know, two more people to add to the good guy team.
That's cool.
You've played Agricola All Creatures Big and Small with
I
me.
Have.
The expansions to that are fantastic because they're just more buildings.
Yeah.
And that keeps the game fresh forever. Because each expansion comes with like 100 buildings, it seems like, and just keeps the game fresh.
Yeah. Did we play with that?
We played the base game.
You mixed it in.
We just played the straight base game for the first play you've had. Yeah. It's good to do that, just so you can get a...
Yeah, just to get a feel for it.
But if we kept playing it, oh, absolutely, we would take those out and play with new stuff, because it would just get it just gets samey.
Yeah.
You know? And then the last one I'll talk about is the Alien Frontiers Factions expansion. You've only played it with that Factions expansion, that little tiny square board,
That's cool.
It's great.
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's great. And again, doesn't add... I mean, there's a little tiny thing. You just have to know what it does. But it's really just another place to put your worker.
Yeah.
You know?
It's simple.
Yeah, it's super cool, and I would never play without it.
And it gives you a particular power or ability that others don't.
Right.
Which is kind of
But it costs them more.
But it's slightly different, isn't it? If someone else uses it, it's slightly different.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Super cool. Some of the worst expansions out there. There's a couple of Carcassonne expansions that are pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Have you played with the catapult?
I don't think I have, but I've heard about
don't.
It. Don't.
Don't
do it.
It sucks. The catapult itself is terribly built, and it's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't really like the tower expansion to that either.
I don't think I played with that one either. I played with a lot of the expansions for Carcassonne, but not those.
Some of them are amazing. There's some that we'll talk about later that I think are essential to Carcassonne.
Yeah, I just have to say the river expansion is the most simple thing, but it is super cool.
It just adds to the setup.
Yeah.
It makes you, you have more spots to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Small World 6-player map, I think, is a bad expansion. I think it's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, playing that game even with 5 people, I think, is too long.
It takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The downtime is horrendous. I was trying to think of, what's the best adjective for this? Ugh.
You could probably play another game on the side while you were playing that.
And then a 6-player? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, bad
idea. That was just a bad idea, I think. Likewise, all of the Arkham Horror expansions... It just seems like this game is 3.5 hours long, and let's just make it longer and add a couple more boards and 800 more cards. I mean, Bill loves the game, and that's great, and he's played it a lot, and so for him the expansions work. But when I've come over there, and this is a long time ago because I haven't played it in years, I'd come over there, and it had to take him 2 weekends to set this damn thing up.
Really?
I mean, not really, but there's a million cards out there. There's 3 boards that extend, and his table's big, but it can't even close to fit everything on there. And
wow.
It just, if it was my game, he's, that's the way he is. He just loves all that stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I would never play it because of that. I would just be like, ugh, it's not worth it to me.
Too much setup.
Right.
I have to go back to Small World just for briefly. The Tales and Legends, bad news too.
Is that the cards one?
Yeah.
With the cards? I've only played with that one time.
No.
I don't remember if I liked it or not.
Didn't have a good experiences with that.
Yeah, just I think the best Small World ones are just the races.
Yeah, really. I mean, and those are great. They're perfect. But that one is just, it adds a little too much chaos to it. It felt like you had no strategy at all. And if you had multiple players, 4 or 5 players, it would just be there's no strategy at all.
Just chaos. Just pure chaos.
You just wait till your turn and do what you can on your turn. There's no, I don't know. I just felt like it was just too much.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Next question you got here is, what games are the most improved by expansions? And I would say games that have a finite ending. That just needs more. And Claustrophobia was a good example of that. You play the scenarios and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is over? It's over? Claustrophobia is actually maybe not the best example, because that's a game where you can play the same scenarios over and over and it's still really fun. Yeah. But I'll go to a game like Mice and Mystics.
Oh, that's very much...
Well, because it's all story-driven.
Story,
yeah. So it's over, and you're just like, no, I want more. Luckily, they've expanded it. There's a few expansions out for it, so it's okay. But I think games like that need it. Or Sherlock Holmes, Consulting Detective. Ugh. I mean, the French version, from a long time ago, I think has a bunch of expansions. But the new one, the Astari Games one, that came out a couple years ago, there's 10, cases. And that's it. That's all there is. I've heard that there's some new expansions planned.
Yeah.
I hope so, because if not, that would be such a bummer. That is a game that I think just like needs expansions.
Is that story driven as well?
Oh yeah. But dude, we gotta play it at some point. It's unlike anything you've ever played. It's very cool. What games are made worse by expansions? I mean, we kind of touched on this with the worst expansions out there, but I think in general, games that were long to begin with that are just made longer. You know, Arkham Horror is the first one that comes to mind. You know, I mean, maybe it needs an expansion. I don't know. I haven't played it enough to know. I just know that what I played it with, like the Dunwich Horror and like all the stuff, and I was just like, this is 100 times longer, and I just
it doesn't make it more fun.
Yeah, exactly, stuff like that. So what games, or actually what is your favorite, if you had to pick a favorite expansion? Do you have one that's your favorite?
Well, I guess it's my favorite, but it's not really a true expansion. It's the Seven Wonders fan expansion. It adds like...
Is it like a new Wonder Board? Or is there cards?
Yeah, it's
or
new
what?
Boards, but there's like, I don't know how many are in there, but it's a lot. It adds a lot more boards. But
oh, that's cool. Where can you get that?
I honestly don't know if it's... I think you can get it as a print-on-demand.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's Print and Play Productions. Somebody does it out there. But you get all the boards. It's like 80, 90 bucks. But I think it's like 30 or so boards. I'm not sure. Yeah. But
that's awesome.
It adds a lot of depth to the
difference. That's a great one, because it's just you're switching out boards. I mean, rules differences or icons and all that crap.
Yeah, that's good.
I think my favorite is Belfort, the Belfort expansion.
Yeah,
it's so fun. I love it. What about games that have expansions that didn't really need them? First one that comes to mind is Terra Mystica.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I bought the expansion, and I've played the game 12, maybe 15 times, and I'm not anywhere close to even wanting to get into the expansion or open that up.
How many races are in the base game?
14, I think.
Yeah, that's way more. You could play one for 20 times.
Yeah, and never get it down, and it's still just as fun, too. I mean, it's great. Another one I would say would be Bonanza. Bonanza, I could play 100 times the way it is, because it's the negotiation that you like, you know, that's so good about it, and there's a bunch of expansions for it, and I just... I'm not ever interested, or, you know, I just don't... It doesn't do anything for me. All right, the next section here is called Expansions and Contractions. These are pregnant expansions, apparently, and they really, really hurt. So this first one says here, the first question that Jeremy's got, do games really need expansions, or are standalone games good enough? Interesting.
Isn't it?
For the most part, I mean, I've thought about this an awful lot lately. I used to just gobble up everything I could for every game I owned, regardless how often I played it. There was like a level of that completionism, like I said, and these companies were really profiting off of me because I was just getting everything and I didn't even play them. And so what I found is that I always just play the base game, unless it's an expansion that just adds more of the same.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, I don't really play my expansions, you know? I mean, like I said, Terra Mystica expansion I've never played with it. I don't think I ever will play with it, you know, unless we just play it like crazy. Same with Hansa Teutonica. I haven't played those boards yet. I mean, I heard they're awesome, but I don't feel like I need to.
It'll be a long time before you get to
it. It will. Suburbia. I have the, you know, expansions for that. No, I haven't played that. Galaxy Trucker. I don't think that base game is so fun.
Yeah,
maybe they're fun. Maybe they are, but I don't play it enough to learn the expansions. Imperial Settlers, Run, Fight, or Die, Seasons, Shogun. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so many expansions I have that I just don't play with. And it's a bummer, you know? But it opened my eyes now to... Maybe. I used to just have to do it, and now I don't.
Just hold off.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I think when I was first in the hobby, Small World was my game that I expanded. And it sort of ended with that, you know.
For any reason?
It just seemed like it was too much, you know. I know that the races added a lot, but for reasons that you've already mentioned, it seemed like the base games are just
it's like overwhelming. You get overwhelmed almost. You're like, oh, okay, I already have to learn and remember all these base rules, and now I have to add in this on top of it. And
the base games are so good on their own.
Usually, yeah.
That's what I feel. Mm-hmm. It's like, and we don't really get to them enough to really get to the point of needing to expand it. So just keep it the base. That's what I think.
Yep, for sure. If a game needs to be expanded for it to play well, is the original game structure broken? Do you think it's a broken game? If a lot of people think, you know, oh, this game needs an expansion, and for that reason I'm mad at it because, you know, the designer should have known this before they released, you know, thought about releasing expansion. And I think that's true. If the game needs an expansion for it to play well, some expansions just make the base game better. And I wouldn't say that's broken. You know, maybe the designer, after, you know, it's a great game, puts it out, and then they're like, oh, maybe I could have done this, and that would have been cooler. Like the, have you played Lords of Waterdeep?
I have.
Have you played the Skulls of whatever it's called?
Skullduggery?
there's Skullduggery in there. It's like Scoundrels of Skullport, maybe is what it's called, the expansion. I love it. It adds this really cool, like, I can't remember what the mechanic is called, but it's like an attrition mechanic, you know? Like, you can get all these resources, but then you got to take one of these blue skulls, and that'll hurt you later on in the game. And it's really, it's a really cool thing. I really like it.
And I've never played that.
Yeah, or, it's great.
I've played the game a number of times, but not that.
It's expansion. A polarizing expansion. Some people love Lords of Waterdeep for, again, for like its simplicity, and it's just such a gateway worker placement. And Scoundrels of Skullport adds some complexity to it. I feel like it adds complexity in a good way. I think I got pretty sick of, I only played Lords of Waterdeep a few times, and after the second play I was kind of like, okay, I get it. But then when, you know, Jeff bought the expansion and we played with that, it breathed so much new life into it. And I don't think that's a fault of the base game, you know, just because they added this new, you know, curse mechanic or whatever it's called. It's going to drive me nuts that I can't think of it, but I don't know. I think that's fine as long as it fixes something that, you know, not necessarily broken, but that some people know, wanted after it came out. Are some games purposely produced and sold as incomplete just to sell the expansions? Ooh.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty controversial there, James.
Well, yeah. Well, if you like, look at Star Wars X-Wing, if you consider the ships to be expansions.
That leads me into CCGs and LCGs. Same kind of thing, right? So CCG, collectible card game. LCG, living card game. Those are specifically made, you know, Magic the Gathering. Probably the most famous collectible card game ever, right? You get a little tiny little set of cards, which you can play with for a minute. But then you want to get these booster packs. And these booster packs, you know, have random cards in it. So me and Jeremy can buy, you know, three booster packs each, and now we have different cards, and it's like, ooh, and then we build our decks, and it's like, oh, we play against one. Oh, he's got better cards than me. I got to go buy more.
Yeah.
And so I do that, and I buy more and more and more, and, you know, there's like, ha, 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 you know,
and then they, the money. They add more powers as they go along. Have you heard of power creep?
No.
Yeah, power creep is where they start changing the base rules of the game, like the rule breakers. You know, Magic is all about breaking the rules, you know. So if you add more of those rule-breaking rules that are more powerful than the last ones, you know, you have this creep of power. Like, so you have to buy the new stuff to keep up. You know, otherwise, if you don't buy the new stuff, then you're
shaking my head way in behind. Disgust.
So
that's crazy.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. And I'm lucky and I'm glad that I haven't fallen victim to that.
It's easy to do. It's a money pit.
It sure is. Heck yeah. People are obsessed with Magic. Even now. Came out in like, what, 93?
Yeah.
You know, however long ago, 91, I don't know, some early 90s, and it's 2016, and it still is the number one thing that keeps most local game stores afloat. Yeah. You know? Their Magic sales.
So
that's a CCG. The LCG, a living card game, is a little bit different. Android Netrunner is one of the most popular ones of those. So if you're familiar with it, it's basically the same kind of concept as a CCG where you buy the base set and it just comes with enough cards to get you playing for a little bit. And X-Wing is kind of a like an LCG for miniatures. You know, you buy the base set and it just comes with two TIE fighters and an X-Wing. And you can play that for like a hot minute. And then pretty soon you want to start expanding it. And so with Android Netrunner, this LCG... There's a bunch of booster packs, but in the booster packs, they're not random. They're all the same cards. So if me and Jeremy both buy Android Netrunner and we get the same booster pack, it's the same cards in there.
Yeah.
And then you build your deck, and that's how they become different. So but it's the same mentality. Yeah, it's predictable that way. It's not random stuff. There's not that concept of like commons and rares and ultra rares, you know, because they're all the, you get the same, you know what you're getting when you buy it. You know what cards are in there. Yeah. There's a list. But yeah, those kinds of things are definitely purposely produced just to get money out of people. You know, they disguise it in, hey, these are cool and they do cool things, and they do, but it's a great marketing tool to just get people money. I don't know. All I can think about, you know, as kind of like a want to be designer, is to just make my games the best they can be before it hits the market. You know, because some people will say that, oh, this designer is just trying to get money. I played Ender's Game from Cryptozoic. It's based on the movie and the book.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they just spent 10 minutes on it and put it out and just tried to get money, you know, from the movie sales. I don't know if they did that or if they just were, you know, just saying, okay, we're only going to give you like 3 cards and then we'll expand it in forever. I mean, it's not popular, so I don't think it's going to get expanded. But I remember opening it and there was like, it was like it was like a bag of, you know, Lay's potato chips. It was like 90% air, you know? And so I was like, what do I do with this? Like, this is nothing. They should have added 100. I could think of 100 things they should have put in. Jeez. And that just made me mad. You know, it's like, ugh, they're just.
That may not be the fault of the designer.
It might not. True.
It may be the publisher.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Being involved with that.
It's funny. I actually wrote that in here. I suppose it's not always up to the designer. So I don't know. But are adding expansions necessary when playing a game for the first time? Unless it fits seamlessly within the regular rule set, I would say no. I would say stay away from doing that.
Yeah, I would, you know, too.
Depending on how it fits in.
You kind of have to get to know the game first, play it a few times, and then decide. And for a group thing, too, like you have to consider who's playing it. If you have new players, new to the game... I mean, some games would be better just as the base to start out with.
I agree. For the most part, I agree with that 100%. Unless it's just like more of the same. So if it's just cards that are in there, like in Cosmic Encounter, I'm always going to play with that expansion because you're not even going to know.
Yeah.
Because it's not like extra rules you have to learn.
Yeah.
But if there's things where, like, you know, okay, this expansion does this and this and this and this, you know, then it's like, okay, maybe we don't do that because it might even give that new player like the glazed over, like, wow, like
it's too much.
All this new stuff. I haven't even learned the original thing yet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Machikuro has a fantastic expansion, but the base game is the best for new players.
I wouldn't play the expansion with, you know, where you're swapping cards out and you only play with 10 random decks. Yeah, I wouldn't play with that. I'd play the base game.
But I
first.
Think the game
whet the appetite.
The game needs those expansions eventually because it gets
once
samey.
After you get there. Same with King of Tokyo. You know, people love that power-up expansion, but I like the game a lot at first without it.
Yeah.
Play the game the normal way, and then after you play it 10, 15 times, and you're like, okay, this is all there is to it. No, now I got this power-up expansion where you can give each monster different powers if they roll, you know, the right things, and it's just a good progression. So, yeah, I think normally you should, stick to the base game for new players, mostly for complexity's sake. Keep it as low complexity as you can, you know, out the gate. Kind of my thing. It depends on the game, of course, but I don't know. Does a game with expansions have increased staying power for your collection? Inherently, I would say they do.
Because you have more money invested into it.
Well, that, and it's just, I mean, with an expansion, it's just normally there's going to be more variability there.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the inherent nature of an expansion. It just gives you more to do. Especially Agricola, all creatures big and small. Those two expansions add like 50 new buildings. And so you can just, boom, you got it. I mean, it's going to stick around. So if you didn't have those, it would get old.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd be more likely to trade it.
Yeah. You'd be like, I mean, you might just like, okay, I've learned this. I get it. You know, it's done.
Yeah.
You know? So yes, I would say they definitely add, you know, inherently they add variability and increased longevity. We kind of talked about this already, about the gotta catch them all mentality with CCGs. D&D Attack Wing, I have about, I don't know, what would you say, like 25 minis up there, maybe?
Yeah, something
and
like that.
How many times have we played it?
No times.
But they're so cool looking, aren't
they?
Look how sweet they look up there.
They look sweet.
They're badass dragons and sweet little griffin things and cool wizards and giant trolls and stuff. It's awesome looking. It's very ominous. You look at it and you're like, oh, that could be played at any time. But the reason I have all that crap is because as I was buying it, I was like, ooh, and this one looks cool. Click. And this one looks cool. Click. And this one looks cool. And I just like bought them, you know, because they look sweet. And I like researched a little bit, which are the best ones to get, build my armies. But I played it one time with Heather for like 25 minutes with like two dragons. So we didn't use any of the awesome, cool crap out there.
Well, you have it.
Yeah.
You can always get to it.
You never know. Whenever. Yeah, that.
We're going to have that Star Wars versus Dragons thing. But
we need to do that versus Wings of War. Wings of War versus X-Wing versus Attack Wing versus
versus everything.
versus a gun. Do you think they really improve the gaming experience?
I think they can, but I don't think it's necessarily the thing that improves the gaming experience completely.
Agreed. In most cases, I find, especially if you play them early enough or too early, everything just gets bogged down more.
Yeah.
And it creates confusion and increases playtime per game needlessly.
Yeah.
You know, again, unless you've played something so much, which is probably the original intention, you've played the game so many times, let's add a little more. With the way we play games, which is not few and far between, but each game does not get played multiple times. I mean, the most time a game gets played in a year, if we don't do the 10x10, is 4, maybe 5 times, you know, for one game. And that's a lot for one game, because we just play so much stuff. So for that reason, I don't think expansions are really necessary.
No.
In that way. So I'm kind of taking a step back from a lot of expansions, and that's my goal for the rest of this episode. The episode's over. Okay, now I can buy stuff. So those are our thoughts on expansions. Anything you want to add on expansiones?
No, I think I'm good with it.
To recap, I would say there's definitely some games that need and are great with expansions. I would just caution against the mentality of just gobbling everything up, because think about it. Are you really going to play with it?
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's only worth it now if I'm going to play with it every time.
Yeah.
And most of the times, I'm not, you know, so.
It's easy to get excited for a game you just get, and you think, oh, this is the greatest thing, and then you want to expand it.
Right. You're like, oh, I'm gonna play this so much. And
yeah. But be excited and keep playing it.
But be grounded in reality.
Yeah. And then expand it later if you think it, you know, it's going to help you.
Yeah, agreed.
So.
Right. Episode 8. That was the expanding universe of the Gamecasters. Thank you again so much for listening. For Jeremy Pete, I am Ryan James, and this has been The Gamecasters.